Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Dr. Emmanuel Mwale joins us now again on the line to talk to us about the great hope. And today we're talking about the Bible, Earth Survival Manual. I tell you. Okay, first, let's greet the president, Dr. Mwale. Good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to be our teacher once again today.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
So we live in a world that is full of confusion, misinformation, and moral fog. And I've seen so many people with moral relativism painted all over their foreheads. And by the way, The Great Hope, the book we're reading these weeks, insists that the Bible is more than an ancient book. It's the ultimate survival manual for the late days, or the latter days, or the last days. But how do we trust that it's not just another religious document? And that's why we have Dr. Emmanuel Mwale to come and talk to us about it. Dr. Mwale, what evidence does the Great Hope provide that the Bible is indeed reliable and divinely inspired?
There are a number of evidences that are provided, but we could look at changed lives, for example.
Okay.
There is no book that changes lives of people like the Bible does. Apart from that, you have fulfilled predictions that are there in the Bible itself that are confirmed in history, which is evidence of the inspiration of the Bible. More than that, the preservation of the Bible itself, it has been attacked, but it has been preserved throughout the ages. That again points to the fact that it's a reliable book and it's inspired.
What do you say to people, and I'm just following up on what you have just said now about the evidences you are advancing. What do you say to people who are saying they have read the Bhagavad Gita and it has changed their lives? They have read the Quran. It has changed their lives. They've read the Gleanings or the Kitabi Akdas. It has changed their lives. How do you respond to people who say, just as your Bible has changed your life, the Kitabi Akdas to the Baha'is, the Quran to the Muslims, the Bhagavad Gita to the Hindus, it has equally changed their respective lives? How do you respond to that?
Well, that's whatever they may say is subjective. So we look at the change that they're talking about. What kind of life are they leading? Whereas when you compare it with the Bible, you will discover that the change that we are talking about is a change that is permanent, and a change that is people will be surprised when we refer to that change. So the change that we talk about when we talk about the Bible cannot compare with the change that a Muslim may refer to, because the Muslims depend on things they do, not necessarily what can I say? When you talk about Islam as a religion, it's a religion that is focused on what people do. It's the same things that I would do. Even if I were not a Christian, I would do what Muslims do. But when I'm a Christian, as a result of studying the Bible, what I do is out of this world. It's different from whatever the other people do.
So the Muslims claim that their Bible, which is the Quran, is more authentic than our Bible, because over the years it has preserved its original language, which is Arabic, whereas the Old Testament has its own language, which is Hebrew and Aramaic. The New Testament has its own language, which is Greek and Aramaic. even though the speakers themselves did not speak the words that were written in Greek. It was written in Greek, but it was the speakers were speaking Aramaic and Hebrew and Koine Greek. So they're suggesting that the Bible was translated from Hebrew to Greek, from Greek to Latin, from Latin to French, from French to Old English, from Old English to the various Englishes that we see now over the years, as opposed to the Quran, for example, which is written in just one language and it still preserves its authenticity. And that's the predicate for my next question. How has the Bible survived through history despite intense opposition?
In the first place, for the Bible to survive the way it has survived, it's miraculous. God himself has preserved the Bible. Apart from that, we have people that God has raised in different generations to preserve the Bible. And so when we look at what they talk about against the Bible with regards to the Quran, it's interesting that they'll talk about one language, and then they think that that's what makes the Quran more authentic than the Bible itself. Now, it's not so much about the language. It's so much about the thought that is in the Bible as expressed by the authors, or rather the writers. God is the author. So God reveals himself to the writer, and then the writer is inspired to write. So despite the fact that the Bible is written using different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Koine Greek, it's consistency. When you begin looking at a theme in the Old Testament, you can go through the whole Old Testament, come to the New Testament, go up to Revelation, there will be consistency in what is being taught, right from the Old Testament to the New Testament.
I hear so that. I hear that, Pastor. Remember, the question we're trying to get answered is, how did God preserve that consistency? Yes, that is the statement, and no one is disputing it. It's just we're asking you to share with us, how did God preserve it? It's the how part, not what actually was done. We believe it was done. Just share with us how it was done.
Okay, so maybe I'm not, because of the reference to what people are saying, I wasn't able to get what you were saying. But what I was saying is that God has used people. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here, Doctor. Go ahead.
Yes. If you look at historically, the way God has done it, the attacks, the Bible was attacked, which we all know about. Mm. But God used people to preserve the Bible. They were able to stand for it despite the ridicule. They were able to stand for it throughout the ages. That's what has happened.
Right.
Either the Bible is hidden and somebody finds it and then they are able to read. A good example is during the Dark Ages, when the Bible was taken away from the hands of the people and the only Latin was used, and it's only the priests who were able to read the Bible. Somehow God just brought about people who started translating the Bible in the language that people could understand. And then they started reading the Bible on their own. So using people, God has been able to preserve the Bible. But as I said, it's miraculous.
Mm. Okay. So why is Scripture essential to understand the great controversy?
Yeah, the only book that clearly explains what the great controversy is, how it started, and where is it now, where it is now, and how it will end, is the Bible.
Okay.
And so if somebody would want to understand what is happening in the world today, what happened in the past, what is going to happen, they have to go to the Bible. Without the Bible, this great controversy theme is not there. People just wonder what happens, and they have to go to theories like Darwinism to explain what's going on in the world. But the Bible is the only book that explains the great controversy.
And so what happens when people rely on tradition or emotion over the word?
Yeah, from a historical point of view, we have seen that when people rely on tradition or emotion, there is spiritual darkness. Yes, the spiritual darkness. Apart from that, you allow the devil to deceive you into teaching things that do not agree with the word of God.
Right.
In other words, people embrace false teachings, which do not really explain what life is all about. A very good example is when the church decided to borrow Greek philosophy and brought it into God's word with regards to the immortality of the soul.
Right.
A contrary teaching came about that suggests that the body and the soul are separate entities, so that when a person dies, the soul lives, which is immortal. It goes either to paradise or to hell. This is because of trying to use tradition to explain what life is all about.
So you're suggesting that there's a bit of confusion and somewhat a syncretism in traditions and emotions.
Yes, yes, that's what happens. You cannot develop character based on emotion. You can develop character only based on the word of God.
Right.
Purely as it is in the Bible, not as it is explained by tradition or as you feel.
Yeah.
It's not possible to develop authentic character.
Of course, of course. And finally, how can we develop a daily habit of reading the Bible meaningfully? You want to suggest ways we can do that?
Number one, first of all, one has to view the Bible as something that is indispensable. Just like we view food, we cannot live without food. We will die. So that's the first thing that a person should do. And then you come up with an approach of study that you are comfortable with, either a book by book, a study chapter by chapter, or thematic. Then you set a specific time when to study the Bible, so that when it is that time, you go to the Bible and study.
Right.
And then you always begin and end your study with prayer. Then you apply the knowledge that you have acquired from the Bible in your life. Because if you don't apply, the Bible will not be meaningful in your life.
Right.
And then you also share what you have studied with other people. As you share with other people, you grow and you also develop a hunger for more of the Bible. So you would want to study more so that you share with other people.
Right, right. I hear you. I hear you. All right. That's good enough for me. Thank you very much, Dr. Mwana. Really appreciate it once again. Have a wonderful day. We'll pick it up again once again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Doctor.
Thank you. Wonderful day.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.